Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
All right, welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. And our guest today is Monica. So Monica, if you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Yeah, well, my name is Monica Melnick. I am the owner of fairyorbs.ca. I run a business where I handcraft glass pendants that are like keepsake memory pieces, and I sell them on my online websites. I do markets from time to time, and yeah, that's my jam. So
how did you get the idea to start this business?
Well, it started off actually as a staff gift. I used to run a team of like 9 girls where I used to train, how to handle online inquiries in the automotive industry. And that job gets pretty stressful. So I had to deal with a lot of tears, and I had to be kind of like the therapist amongst the girls. But it was great. But I really wanted to make them something that was meaningful and something that they could look at, just for a second, that they could just kind of disconnect from the world and just kind of like have their attention on, you know, one thing and just breathe and take it one step at a time. So I was always fascinated by those, those Where's Waldo sticks. Like, I don't know if you ever seen. They're like these long glass sticks, and then you shake them around and you find dough in it. And I was always fascinated with those. And I always wanted to take one to school, but I couldn't figure, like, they never existed. And so I kind of came across hand blown glass pendants. And I thought to myself, well, it would be neat if I could fill it with some treasures that would be meaningful for the person, and they could look at it and have kind of like a meaningful moment. Right. So it just snowballed from there, and I made them for the girls, and then their friends wanted some, their moms wanted some, and then it kind of expanded from there. Yeah.
Awesome. So, like, you're making this essentially sort of like a hobby, and then you turn it into this business, right?
Yeah. It was a hobby first. And then, through trial and error and lots of error, I got really good at it. And now they're built pretty strong, and they don't break anymore. And that's really, yeah.
What would you say makes you better than your competition?
The fact that I can put so much into them, and the fact that they're made by me, because no matter who, a lot of people ask me if I'm scared of someone stealing my idea. And of course there's always that fear, but like, go ahead and take it, because you're not me, and the product is made by me, and people are buying it because it's my energy. It's my, my hands that made it, and they appreciate that and they support me. Right. So.
That's great. I always think, like, whatever you're doing, if this is not your passion, then don't do this.
Yeah. And I've been in a lot of jobs that I wasn't very happy in, for sure. And it's just kind of nice to be able to do what I love and help people too, right? So.
Yeah, great. That's great. So for your business, what online marketing techniques do you use?
I do mainly ads. So I haven't been doing a lot of online advertising because a lot of my business comes from word of mouth, and that's how I've been staying busy. But I've been dabbling in Facebook ads, and I found that was really beneficial for me for the last Christmas season, for example. So I didn't spend much on the ads, and I got quite a bit of a return, enough to keep me busy. And then I turned off the ads because I had to, because I just couldn't keep up. So I was like, I need to kind of slow down a little bit. And then right now I'm advertising through Etsy, just because I can, I guess. So.
Yeah. So in this whole scenario, how do you handle the fast growth and scale up your business?
That's been hard. Yeah. Scaling my business, I find has been a little hard, but just because, I don't know, a lot of people have asked if I would want to teach someone how to do it and have more people making them, things like that. But I haven't expanded past the fact that my hands are making them right now. So I've had a lot of wholesale inquiries, but I'm still kind of working on negotiating kind of contracts with those. So I don't know. It's difficult to scale because it's just me right now, but me and my marketing partner, I guess, but I'm still a work in progress. Yeah.
That's good. So what's the role of technology in your business? other than the online marketing, Facebook, Instagram?
In terms of like a CRM?
Yeah, if you're using CRM.
Even like your website, like, you know, using Shopify. Yeah.
I use Shopify. Yeah, Shopify is my website provider. They've been working for me. Well, they have. I mean, I thought about leaving them at one point and switching to a new provider, but, you know, it is quite a bit of work to migrate. I've looked into different services. It's been working for me, and I'm on a bunch of different channels like Etsy, Shopify, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and then the markets. And then most of my business is through Messenger for people that know me and message mm-hmm. me directly, right?
So back to Facebook, I was just curious because you mentioned that you ran Facebook ads that were very successful. So can you talk like a little bit more about that? Like, what was your strategy that, you know,
it was a mistake. I did it by accident. I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, click, 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 here we go. And I ran this ad. This is like the worst story, but I ran this ad. I didn't know what I was doing. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to hope for the best and hope it sticks. And it was a type of ad where I wanted people to message me. And that's what I wanted, right? But I guess what I didn't realize is I was posting an ad that people, when they clicked on it, they didn't learn more. And I think I don't know if it was semi-deceiving, but it was like they were expecting to learn more. And they were like, oh, I didn't mean to message you. And I was like, haha, now that you are, you know? And so I could sell through those kind of leads, right? That I was getting through Messenger just from running that simple little ad on Facebook. It was kind of a nice little happy accident, I guess, right? So
awesome. So like you mentioned word of mouth is a way that you've grown. So how is that, you know, is it more of like going to certain events like pop-ups or like where are you, or is it just, you know, people like in your network, like how are people like, you know, finding out about you through word of mouth?
So one way was in the beginning, I did give out a lot of product. And I got a lot of slack for that from a lot of family members, like, don't give away your product. And I just said, well, you know, more people need to know. And through giving it to the right, I guess, people, they told their friends. And then it became also a thing where I started to do birthday parties, you know, because then the children would show their moms and now their moms want one and now their moms and their moms. And so that kind of expanded, like just through networking, right? Just through who you know and who needs one. So, I mean, I trained sales for a number of years and I know that creating a need for the product is one thing, but I'm kind of lucky because I feel that everyone kind of not needs it, but I feel that they need it. I don't know. I find that they're hard to part with when I make them. I don't know. That's me, my demographic, right?
That's true. It's funny because I was actually just listening to a podcast with Alex Ramos and he was talking about this exact thing, starting a business and actually giving away things for free, and people are criticizing you, but it does work because at the end of the day, it's hard to get that social. Like when you start giving it away for free, you go, oh, okay, I see that you're doing this. And then, as you said, like they told their friends, they leave you good reviews because they really appreciate it. They see the value. And I think that I'm sure is a strategy that's been very effective for you.
Huge. And it's something that I used to teach. It's called like, I used to do these demonstrations. Like I used to sell knives back in the day in the department stores, right? And we used to give out a free gift and that was the ticket. And sometimes you can give the free gift and you can just go. You can go. You're free to go. I'm not going to hold you to buy my product, right? But if you're open to listen to what it is, if you're open to it, then I'm happy to tell you. And then it in turn sells itself kind of thing, right? So that's kind of how it happens. Yeah.
So in terms of technology, do you see any use case for artificial intelligence in your business?
So I do, provided the AI is literally trained by me. And the thing is, I feel it's a little bit of it's a little bit of an uncharted territory for me that I don't want to go there with my mind because of the proprietary aspects of my product. I worry because I know that AI is controlled by something and I know that I'd be giving it my all. I use AI. I've recently found, you know, it can help me reword things. It can help me write better product descriptions. Sometimes when I just have a writer's block, you know, and it helps me, but I feel a little bit reserved using AI as an assistant. It's like, how hard would it be to train? I think it would be fine, right? I mean,
yeah, yeah, 100%. Kasim is the expert on training AI models and machine learning. So I myself am not a software engineer, but Kasim is the one that, you know, he knows how to train those bots and to train the AI.
But you learned a lot, Dan.
I know enough. I myself can't do any of the training. I'm not an engineer by trade, but Kasim is the one. Kasim has taught me a lot about this process for sure.
You just need to interact with it and be specific, right? In what you want. And
exactly, yeah. Because it's like this machine learning, to your point, and AI is trained oftentimes on this data. It's not like open AI, it's trained on your data. And I think that's the most efficient way to really utilize it, I think, in the future for any business.
How safe is the data, though? That's the question.
Well, if it's your data, it's safe. OpenAI, like ChatGPT, is not safe. But if it's your database, then it's 100% safe because, like, nobody's accessing it, right? So, yeah, OpenAI, ChatGPT, actually, I've heard stories of people getting fired from their jobs because they're coding. And ChatGPT, it's OpenAI, right? But if you have your own private server, it's 100% safe.
Yeah. If you have your own private server,
So what would you say is your biggest challenge right now? I mean, you mentioned scalability, but just like besides that.
Delegation of duties sometimes. I kind of like to do it all. And just like you said with the AI, it's a difficult thing for me to even delegate someone, regardless if it's a robot or whoever, to answer my leads for me. For example. And that's what I've been dreaming about, to be honest with you. I've been looking for someone. It would be amazing if somebody could answer my leads, but in the way that they need to answer them in order to get the sale, because there's get the sale, right? Like there's a way to do it. There's a way from inquiry to that I'd have to train them on how to do. And it's, I'm a little bit hesitant to let that go.
I don't know. I always say, I'm like, if you can train somebody to be 70-80% as good as you, they're never going to be as good as you. But that's the way to scale. It's difficult at first. And I think the first kind of training is going to be a complete pain in the ass. And Kasim knows that the people on our team that I've had to train early on was a bit challenging. And I got very frustrated. But now I'm like, okay, like, you know, there's been improvement. They're a lot better. There's still always room for improvement. They're pretty good. And I think it's like, that's the biggest thing. Actually, like my first company, I was a one-person show, and I ended up selling it because I can't scale this business. I'm like, I'm doing everything. So I think, you know, delegation, I think, is definitely key to scalability and something that, you know, eventually you're going to have to cave and say, listen, like, if I want to grow, I'm going to have to, like, delegate some things.
Yeah. You have to let go of your baby a little bit, and it's hard.
Yeah, definitely. So what would you say is your top business priority in the next 3 to 6 months?
Initially, it was to see if I could save costs anywhere, if I could amalgamate any of the apps or services that I use, or do I need all these services? I was looking at kind of budgeting in that way. And then in the next 6 months, I was hoping that I could kind of amalgamate, like, for example, I'm not very good on the email marketing side, although I can be if I apply myself. but so maybe in the next, you know, few months, going back to the service that I was with, to expand and evolve, maybe add more channels also to my line of business as well.
So will you let me know, like, what financial metrics do you track to measure the success of your business?
Well, financial metrics, I mean, like, what do you mean? Like, how do I organize the finances, or like,
yes, budget
reports? I mean, my finances are organized in my bank account, and then I have my spreadsheet saying like what I spent my supplies or anything on, and then my time and things like that. So I kind of keep a log of it, right? In terms of my price point in my product, I don't need to sell a lot.
Yeah, I think Kasim's asking because you know, we were just talking earlier that our finance is like one of our partners is like, man, we're so disorganized. So yeah.
you gotta have a spreadsheet. Like, I know. And then for me, it's like, I've got a spreadsheet and another spreadsheet and a customer list and who ordered. Like, so my background before this was, I was a trainer in the automotive industry for, you know, leads and the BDC, the Business Development Center. So we had to keep like hella organized. I had like 9 stores that, you know, I had to help with the leads and all that. So, I mean, spreadsheets after spreadsheets, knowing what you're doing and then your plan of action, what you're doing next, especially with the finances, right? Like, you've purchased XYZ. Like, I've got a market coming up right now in September, and I don't do very many markets because I feel like it just, I just get like I get a little busy because that's with the delegation. I should have someone helping me usually, but this market in particular happens in the middle of the day, in the middle of the week, like in this random time, you know, so I can't really get any help. But like, it's a good problem to have, but like, people are like, you know, giving me money all the time. And I'm like, I don't know what, like, I don't know who's paying or who's going or who's coming. Right. So I need to like organize that. So I think that's another one of my goals, maybe do a little bit extra more markets too, and organize that, streamline that process. Right.
Yeah. That's awesome. So what is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
How much money I'd spend, and I wish I would budget before I did the business. Like, because I probably, like, I didn't really think. And looking back, like, now that I'm really budgeting and counting, and because I mean, it's a corporation, right? Like, I'm doing my bookkeeping and whatnot, and I'm looking at all the money I've spent, and I'm like, you know, so I wish I kind of back then really counted my pennies, you know, then.
So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you expect things to go for your business?
I expect to let go of some of the control. And I mean, even though I have a past colleague of mine, a good friend of mine helping me with marketing, she's not like super hands-on. She was at one point I think it was after COVID, but she has a full-time job, so she can't dedicate much time, right? So I see goals as me letting go in the future and adding more lines of business and me stepping away from that lead taking role. Maybe I've created a Google form that I'm hoping will do it, but I know AI would probably be better.
Yeah, definitely. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out to you, do you mind sharing like your website or social media handles? Like, what's the best way for somebody watching this to get in contact with you and buy your products?
Well, you can always visit my website, so fairyorbs.ca, and it sounds just like it. It's fairy, like a fairy, and orbs, ORBS.ca. My phone number is right on the banner there. They can text me, call me. I'm pretty quick, or social media. You can Google me. I'm everywhere. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, Monica, it was great chatting. I always love chatting with people who share my last name or the second person we've had in our podcast. So, yeah.
I was thinking you might be relatives.
It's a much more common last name. Like I told Kasim.
Huh? You're my brother from another mother.
Exactly. I told Kasim, I'm like, it's much more common than you think.
Yeah, it is. It's a common last name. And mine was from my previous marriage, right? So, I mean, I'm keeping it because my son is also Melnick, right? So
that's funny. Okay, yeah. So definitely, we're not blood relatives then.
Yes.
No. That's funny. All right. Well, Monica, thank you so much for your time. And we're rooting for you. Hopefully, you keep growing and scaling your business.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate your time.
Thanks.
Thanks, right, Monica. Bye-bye.